Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fire and Water, the podcast. I'm Tennyson, and here, as always, with Quinita, so that we might be in a little bit of thinking out loud together. We offer this podcast as a way of probably cultivating our own learning and wisdom, and also offering it to others and inviting others in it. Sometimes we think of this as cultivating wise leaders, a show at a time, or, you know, a segment at a time. So glad to be here and glad to have you as listeners giving your attention to a topic today that Quinita, you and I were just, we've been talking about in snippets probably every day for the last week and, you know, maybe
forever.
Yeah. And before that, like, you know, this is not a new thing. But it's around, I'll just say it as a kind of question. It's something about healthy masculine. It's something about healthy feminine, sacred feminine or sacred masculine, and the way that those exist in many places, like in the context of sacred feminine. Mm-hmm. How does the sacred feminine live within the masculine? Or how does a sacred or a healthy masculine live within the feminine? So there's a lot of different, you know, places here to go. But in particular, as I'd shared with you, we've had lots of stuff and can share some of that as we go on, but lots of stuff around what the sacred feminine is. And I find myself looking at that sacred feminine and going, ooh, 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 wait, that feels like a really, you know, strong quality in a masculine also. Mm-hmm. It raises the question of like, so what is, where do we start when it comes to sacred masculine anyway? That's kind of our topic today. And in a way, as this podcast usually is, it's a continuance of a conversation that you and I are already in. So I'm welcoming that today.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess where I'll start is, when you and I first made the choice to work together and to do QT retreats where we used to host in our homes, and it was a weekend of deliberately wandering with friends in circle and song and ceremony. And
right.
And I remember the call that we had, and one of the things you said is we could do something around the masculine and the feminine, because that was something even in that original call. And the reason that I said yes to starting to work with you and do the QT retreats then was because I had been doing feminine wisdom retreats at that point. I think I did 10 retreats in 8 years or something like that. And what I was noticing was this rise of the feminine on the planet, but it was showing up in such a masculine way.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the absence of healthy masculine and feminine together. I just felt like we didn't have very many opportunities to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we were already friends. We'd been friends for a year and a half at this point. And so when you asked that, it was a yes for me because it was an opportunity to start being in a space to model for other people, healthy masculine and feminine together.
Right.
And I think that's important. I think that in this culture, we hear an awful lot about toxic masculinity, but you can't have toxic masculinity and not have toxic femininity. They work together, they're balancing each other out. And we don't hear very much about toxic femininity, even though it's very pervasive on our planet. And so this place then, this piece then on the other side of what's healthy masculine and healthy feminine, one of my best kind of current examples and excitement and maybe a little bit of obsession is the new Matrix movie. Because I feel like, oh my God, it so has the model between Neo and Trinity of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. You know, there is this piece in the movie where Neo, one of the people on the ship says to Neo,
spoiler alert
about Trinity, like, well, what if she doesn't choose you? Or what if she doesn't choose this? And his answer to them was, you know, I've never thought I was the one, But Trinity always believed that I was. And now it's time for me to believe in her. And there's a piece in that that I think is the is the healthy masculine. Like there is, you know, and I think we think of it as this kind of surrender, but it was this trust and it was this grounding in a kind of leadership, I think, that allowed him to surrender to her in that way. You know, someone else said this decision, like one of the biggest decisions in your life, is actually going to be made by Trinity. And there is, I think, what we've thought the masculine to be, because we've had so much experience in the toxic masculinity, is this: we think of the masculine as kind of going it and not thinking about anybody else, and kind of, you know, like taking charge in that way. And I think that some of that tends to lean into the toxic masculinity and not healthy masculinity. I think healthy masculine has a leadership quality to it that does consider the whole and is moving forward. You know, there was a time in my life where I said, you know, I have no problems in following the leadership of the masculine. If that leadership is worth following, if you really are going someplace and have our best interest in mind, you know, it's kind of like with any elder for me, I feel that way. Well, that's a bunch, so I'll put that in the center and give you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pick it up. I think I'm coming at this from a specific and maybe a little bit of a different place. But to what you're saying, first of all, like the connection at one layer of connection that you and I have around what is healthy or intending healthy masculine, healthy feminine. Just yay for that. You know, I love that that's one of the things that does happen and can happen. Whenever you start talking Matrix, I'm gonna get a little nutty because it's sort of one of my favorite movies and movie franchises or series. All of the theming that is what's real isn't real, or what could real also be, is incredibly inviting and provocative to me. So I'll just get excited about that, but we'll try not to geek out too much. And then there's a thread of the toxic. But I'm going to come at that. I think I'm coming at that at a different place here, or a different, you know, another important sort of marker on the map. Because as you know, excuse me, I've been referencing this list that came out of a friend and colleague, Catherine Weinman, her blog, I guess, where she was naming sacred feminine. Her title on the blog was something about sacred feminine. And Catherine writes blogs that compiles quite a few things together. And this was a list of things from a person named Christine Walters Paintner. And it's eight things describing the sacred feminine. And I'll read them so that we have them here in the podcast. But I'll just preview it by saying, when I read these, sacred feminine, there was such a strong part in me that was identifying with each of the things that she was writing, that she was conveying in a way that was like, whoa, wait a minute. I think that's sacred feminine, but I don't think of that as just sacred feminine. Like when we do our wisdom classes, or when we emphasize sort of a wisdom within the things that we offer, all of these qualities of what Catherine was including as sacred feminine felt like these are things that I lead with. I try to go with. So that raises a question of like, you know, what's the sacred feminine within the masculine? And this is not a desire to get too nutty, wordy, you know, you know, clarifying precise in all of that. But what is the feminine within the masculine? What's the masculine within the feminine? And a few more choices that go with all of that. These were the things that were listed in Catherine's post: following intuition, attending to synchronicity, listening deeply to the natural world, surrendering, striving, trusting the wisdom of underworld and of shadow, honoring vulnerability as strength, embracing slowness and spaciousness, and the last one is valuing being over doing. Every one of those things in that list is something that I feel like I aspire to. Sometimes I'm able to demonstrate that I recognize as very, very, very familiar in calls that I have often, coaching calls and friendship calls with men that I appreciate. So there's something about like what's in that list and you know, where to go with that. Because my heart and my belly, in a way, I'm demonstrating one or two of the points on the list. In my heart and my belly, I listen to that and go, ooh. And I just dwell in that, and I'm totally satisfied to dwell in that. Like, there's some wise stuff in there, incredible markers to pay attention to. And since that's named as a sacred feminine, it makes my mind and heart wander a little bit into, okay, well, if those are typical sacred feminine things, and let's say that they do show up in the masculine or, you know, something like that, then what's the sacred masculine also? Is there a parallel list? And I don't know what that list is. I have some starting ideas. That's where I came to you at one point in one of our conversations, said, hey, Quinita, what do you think about this? You know, what would you start to name? That's where I'm coming at this conversation. Let me pause there.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were talking about this the other day, one of the things I said to you is I think you, because you're raised around a lot of women and a lot of men that I know who are raised around a lot of women, carry a lot of the feminine in them. And one of the, actually one of the conversations you and I've had a couple of times is in our holding of circle. That oftentimes you're bringing the feminine and I have to carry the masculine, and I get a little frustrated at times because the male feminine is different than the female feminine, and the female masculine is different than the male masculine. So that's why, like in Robert Bly's book, Iron John, where he talks about men to be initiated have to have two births, one by a female mother and one by a male mother, and they're different things. And I think that it's kind of like when we talk, when I talk about the Dagra medicine wheel, it's not an either or. We all have all of it in us. We all have the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine in us. It's just a matter, I think, sometimes of what leads the way. So like in the wheel, I'm a water spirit. And so that leads the way. It doesn't mean that I don't have fire or nature or mineral or earth in me. And I think that's true with the masculine and the feminine too. You know, I think sometimes, it's about how do we find balance in that. And, you know, there's a piece that I speak to that I've written in my boy's book that we get it backwards. We think that men carry the power and women carry the love. And that's some of what this list, I think, is speaking to a bit, or it's kind of leaning into. But I actually think when we're at our best, it's just the opposite. When we're at our best, men are the ones that say, I'll serve until, I'll bring the love and keep going until it's done. They're the ones that kind of lean into their own heart and vulnerability and show up. And when women, when we're at our best, we are the people in the village that are supposed to say, no, you've chopped enough wood. We're supposed to use our power. Chopped enough wood, you've fished enough fish. It's time to stop. And in our culture, what we're seeing on this kind of global scale is that men have forgotten to bring the love and women have forgotten to bring their power. The women have forgotten to say, it's enough, let's stop. And the men has forgotten to just show up in this love space.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
yes to all of the integrating that is sort of yummy and all of that. So there's yes to just all of that. And then I'm trying to pull it down a little into, all right, if that list that I read is let's just use it as a starting place to identify sacred feminine, knowing that that's alive in many places. Mm-hmm. Where's the parallel starting list for men? Like men, you know, for example, all of this, I don't want to speak it in a way that just sort of boxes it up too much. But if you say, you know, part of the sacred masculine, for example, is offering clarity. Part of a sacred masculine might be offering shape. You know, here's a thing. I feel this often when I'm working with folks where we're thinking out loud and we're considering possibilities, doing all the things that I love, imagining, wondering, dreaming a little, considering some options, all of that kind of stuff. And at some point it requires like an invitation or a proposal to say, well, given all of that, you know, here's a proposal. It's almost like there's something masculine, I'd like to think healthy, maybe even sacred, about doing such a thing that really contributes, or even an unapologeticness. That's a little bit more loaded, because boy, there's a real downside to unapology, but there's also an upside to not being apologetic, you know, like to claiming, I think this is what we're up to. But maybe the strongest point there is, it's still like listening for what's a starting place to name what is sacred / healthy masculine, because I can live in that feminine list and go, oh my gosh, that's, you know, that's at the, as one who pretty lives in my heart quite a bit, all of those things I can look at and say, geez, if that's what you spent your life trying to figure out or do or practice or be, you'd live a pretty wise life. Yay. And then I just want to say, like, what's the masculine in there?
Tennyson, if it was just that, you would get frustrated as hell too. Cause you, like, I mean, if you think about the masculine, just that feminine list, because of what you just spoke, like one of the things you said, okay, let's bring it down. What does that mean? This kind of creating shape, you're even doing it in your question, right? Mm-hmm. The shape or the container that I think the masculine brings and can hold. That's why I always say people think circle is such a feminine thing, but I think the framework of circle is masculine. It's the holding, it's the container. I think there's a protection in the masculine. I think there's a tending to that the masculine does. I think that, you know, and healthy masculine. I think there is a clarity, you know, one of the things that I think is a real gift for you is, or that you bring, is this clarity and this being able to see the through line of things. And I've told you, I can't see it. That's not how it shows up for me. I can feel my way through it, which I think is more of the feminine. And the seeing it is more maybe of the masculine, or being able to narrow it down. Or even we were with a group last night, and there was a piece that in the framing of a question, and you said, okay, we want like one sentence of this and then three sentences of these, you know, of this question. Mm-hmm. And that kind of framing and holding, I think, is of the masculine and the healthy masculine. And I just say, you know, in circle practice, I know you get frustrated as hell when it's all squishy and it doesn't have the framework. It doesn't have a strong masculine presence in it. And to me, that is part of what starts to make the tending. I also find it kind of interesting that, you know, we're having a conversation where you're asking me as a woman to name the masculine. There was a feminine wisdom retreat I did once, and we did a collective poem. And one of the lines that sticks with me is this woman that wrote, we're women that have learned how to be women from men. And so that's why, like, I talk a lot about male elders and male initiation and the importance of men for men in that. Because I'm clear, like, I don't know the experience of being a man, you know? And that's why I think Robert Bly talks about the male mother. And I think one of the things, Tennyson, that you have, that you bring, and it is this understanding and being raised around the feminine. So that is in the backdrop for you. Mm-hmm. I think that helps you in your own stepping into your own eldering as a man because it has to be the male mother, you know, for initiation.
Can I pick up?
Yeah.
I think that everything that we're saying feels true and relevant and helpful in some direction. Quite unapologetically for me. So when we're in such a big topic, I feel like one of the things I need to do is come back to just me. Never mind how the world encounters this or how this is so big and conceptual. It's just like this is me in it. Everything that's on that sacred feminine list, following intuition, I'll read them again. Following intuition, attending to synchronicity, listening deeply to the natural world, surrender striving, trusting the wisdom of underworld and shadow, honoring vulnerability as strength, embracing slowness and spaciousness, value being overdoing. Every one of those I could take with me into a men's retreat and say, here's some stuff that we're going to work on and design it that way and invite it that way. Like, and I think we would all come out with a like, wow, that was cool. What was that? That was cool. Now that might be, think out loud, I'm feeling out loud, that might be a commentary on so much of what is needed. Now I am back in the big of it in the world right now. You know, it is a time for a feminine rising or to restore or reclaim some of these qualities that are typically associated with the feminine, but need to be integrated in the masculine also. It might just be that's sort of the overarching, you know, turning that we're in right now. That's bigger picture. When I pull it down to the okay, right here, right now-ish energy, excuse me. I am thinking of the call that we did last night, where you and I are designing it, and we're doing our okay. It's 2 hours, and this is what it looks like. And you and I have a way of not scripting that, but definitely shaping it. Ours is less delivering a content, as I shared. It is more living the content. So there's a way that we just do it. But we're in the reality of, okay, we have a group of 15 people. And so that we can do the sequencing and et cetera that we want in the call, we can't have our check-in be an hour long. It needs to be limited to the 20 minutes or whatever it was. And that's what you're referencing, where I brought in a proposal to say, look, if we hold this tightly, this is not about forcing people into boxes. But if we say the specifics of it was one, say your name and geography, two, say one sentence about how you're arriving. That's different than just say something about how you're arriving, because then we could go on a lot of things. And then the third part of that, three parts, is a dangerous proposition there. Third part of it was three sentences on why you chose to be in this class. The one sentence, three sentence part of that is so deeply structural, and it just like it holds it in a way that doesn't have us too leaky. So I realize you've named that as an example. I'm re amplify or restating it as an example because it helps me to see like there is value in that layer of structure. If that's all we did, that would be a problem. If we're always tightened that way, that would be a problem. But I know that we have other forms where we say, you know, this can be timeless. You can go as long as you want to go. Something in the mask, excuse me, background cough, something in the masculine, I think, brings some of that in a loving, kind way. I'm not trying to squish people into a stupid response. I'm just trying to say, offer your essence and know that that's enough in the center.
And you do that in a different way than I do, because I'd set a timer and be like, you got 90 seconds, you know. So you do it in a kinder way, I think. And I love, again, because you think of the container and the holding in a different way. And you know, even in oh, just I think it is very helpful, and it was very helpful. And I learn a lot by watching you hold those spaces in those containers. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm good at it in a lot of places. I think I am better than I've been in the past through us working together. But it's something that I think is a gift that you bring in that is needed.
Yeah.
I think the piece where you talked about this list and taking it in with the men's group,
yeah,
and that you can use it and it would be delicious. Of course. And part of that is that initiation is done through the feminine. That, you know, when Bill Plotkin talks about the collective journey, the journey to the whole of us or the all of us or the we, the journey to spirit is an ascending journey. It's a masculine journey. He says that's why we have more ministers and priests that are men than women. And then the journey to the descent, to our soul, to our individual self, you know, the soul meeting itself, which is initiation, is a feminine journey. It's a descending journey. It's why we have more witches than warlocks. But you can only be initiated through the feminine. And so, of course, you're feeling that. And also women are feeling that on the planet too, because we have such an adolescent adult culture. And so it's this piece about us trying to be initiated calls for all of that. And it is calling us in more and more and more.
Okay. So I'm feeling the time of our podcast here, that it's maybe time to tuck it in. You okay with that?
Yeah, let's say a part one, and we'll at some point come back.
Yeah, we might come back to a part B.
Yeah.
Because maybe what segues to a possible
part B. I said part one, you said part B.
Part one and part B.
Yes.
Well, that's dorky, right?
It is.
Part of what makes the segue, excuse me, part of what makes the segue is that this conversation that we're having, I don't hold it as being just about me and my personal learning journey. I hold it as a bigger thing than that. There are a lot of men and a lot of people, period, who are trying to learn such things or discover or surrender to, right? So there is a way that I think part of my own learning style is to bring the unknown of my interior into a conversation and let it be material to, you know, wander around with. I love it that we're focusing on such qualities of wholeness or well-being. And I don't want my brain to get too lost in whether that's a feminine or a masculine. I'm just doing good shit because good shit needs to be done. That's what it starts to feel like for me. And that's even what some of the language starts to feel like for me. So I'm glad to do a part A thing with you and then tuck it in and say, oh, yeah, okay, to be continued. That's got that's the best bridge that I know.
Well, and for me, one of the things I think is, as an African-American woman, you know, a culture that's a very feminine culture. But a world that requires so much that African-American women carry a lot of the masculine.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I am hungry for the men to be in their masculine so that I don't have to carry it.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's some more, I think, of the conversation, too, that's around that, like that allows me then to really lean into the feminine, you know, and the softness as my strength.
Okay, that's good teaser for part B then.
Yes.
Okay, to be continued then. We'll say that.
Yeah.
Thanks to all who are listening today. And if you're, you know, you find questions growing in you, that's awesome. This is a journey that I think all of us, or many of us, are making. And even just the temporary awareness, like I would suggest, even just the temporary attention to something creates a little energy around it and you know, contributes to kind of an overall field of learning for many of us, even in those non-local ways. So I'll say thanks to people who are giving it some energy and wonder. We're always appreciative of support from folks being in your respective practices and wisdom learning and those kinds of things. As most of you know, for more information, you can reach each of us at our respective email addresses and websites. Quinita's is nzuzu.com and I'm tennisonwolf.com. And then we've got our fireandwaterleadership.weebly.com site also, which highlights our fire and water leadership journey and rite of passage experience also. And we're working on our new website too, that sort of pulls a little bit of all of that together into one landing place. Good to be in the conversation with you again today, Quinita.
You too, Tennyson.